Well, this morning I want to impart the inward man being renewed. And because we can't see always the inward man in that sense, we sometimes wonder what is going on. Am I really changing? Is the Holy Spirit really working in my life, in my heart, bringing me into conformity of his will? We hear much, don't we, about the overcoming life and about the cross and everything. But at the end of the day, this is all about the inward man being worked upon. And God will always work in that way. He will never, ever work first on the outward. He will always work first through the inward. And of course, in our flesh, we don't like that, because we often want God to work on the outward, but he doesn't work that way. He doesn't work that way, and you're not going to change him. But, you know, we go through times, don't we, where we get these glimpses, we get these experiences that, yes, God does have it right. It is the right way. It is the inward man first that he's working with, and rightly so. And the reason being is because the outward man, the body, the house, your flesh, is passing away. There is nothing where the flesh is concerned, and take a good look at yourself, or pinch yourself, or just look at your hands, and you have got to accept the fact that that is going to pass away. It is going to pass away. The people die, and many people will die today through this 24 hours. And as the spirit of life leaves from them, the flesh begins to decay and will go back to dust, as the scriptures inform us. So it is the inward man, the heart, the soul, that God is working, and as we know so well, he has us on that table, the potter's wheel, and he's moulding us, working with us, getting us ready for a life eternal with him. And I want this morning, this teaching, to cause us to look away further from this world, the things of this world, what we hear, what we see, what even we experience, what may be going on around us. We must remember that we are baptized with the Holy Spirit in order for him to call us away from this world that is heading very fast into judgment. And if it were not for the grace of God, no flesh will survive in these last days, when the wrath of God is finally revealed against sin and rebellion. And so with that brief introduction, I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And this morning we're going to call this teaching, The Inward Man Being Renewed. The Inward Man Being Renewed. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to take it up from verse 16. Right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. If so be that, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that immortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the very same thing, God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Now, I think one has to go through a certain amount of persecution, suffering, to be able to write something like this that is inspired and led by the Holy Spirit. Paul constantly, daily, was dying in the flesh, dying to himself, ever faced each day that this could be the last day that he could face death or martyrdom or whatever. Those were the conditions of the day. The early Christians being persecuted for their confession and hold of faith in Christ. So they knew a little bit about what it was to take each day by faith, because this could be the day that I will put off this earthly body and put on immortality, a body which Christ has prepared for me through for eternity. We don't always appreciate this one. And this, of course, is why I believe in this generation we live in that we have probably more at our disposal than we ever have had in any other generation. We are utterly spoilt beyond words. We have everything at our amenities. We can simply touch buttons and things happen. Screens come on. We can get information that we want within a split second. It doesn't matter what it is. Everything is breaking through to cater to man, to pamper him, to ever cause his eyes and heart to turn away from depending upon God. I was talking to someone I know last week who in the world, outwardly one would say, is a very successful businessman. He's been in business now for 10 years and he's made £3.5 million. And he's still wanting to make more, and he's deciding that he and his family, the best thing they can do is to sell out, move out of this country and probably go and live in Barbados or something like that, simply to try and avoid tax and so forth. And some of the guys that I know, they said, you know, this bloke can't go wrong. Everything he seems to touch turns to gold, you know? And outwardly, I can see exactly what they're saying. I was also talking to another man who had a business in London, a very successful business. He owned on the Thames or the tugs that take the boats up and down. He inherited this business from his father, and two of his brothers run this business for a number of years. He's also a qualified accountant. He's retired now. But something he said to me last week, he said, at this moment, he said, it's comparatively easy to make money. It's not that hard. The opportunities today presented, whether it be on the stock market, whatever it is, shares and so forth, you can quite easily make a lot of money. It's not a big deal, a big problem. You know, and I listen to this, I listen to what these guys are saying, and I'm thinking, my word, isn't the powers of darkness active? All to take our eyes away from depending upon Almighty God. We live in such depraved times. And here we are, we have read this morning that our inward man is being renewed. God has got you here this morning. He's not concerned so much about your wants, your needs, you, but he's concerned about the fact that he wants to get your life, your heart, your attitudes, your motives in accordance, in line with his. You see, very often, as we know, in our everyday walk, we are not defeated so much by the circumstances, but we are defeated by my attitude toward them. My motive, my attitude, my thinking. And if you look at your life and you look what you've gone through, most of your problems have not been so much the circumstances. It has been your thinking toward them, you see. Now, that thinking is what is going on in the heart. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. We've had much teaching on that. So what are we talking about? We're not talking about something about the flesh. We're talking about the inward man. And that is what we're saying here, that he is perfecting a moulding. Now, if you're really listening to this message and you're praying what you hear week by week into your life, into your heart, you're going to find that even a year ago, your attitude, your thinking, you have broken through in areas that you did a year ago. Because the Holy Spirit is working on the inward man. Simply circumstances reveal to us what is going on inside us. And that's why God will permit and allow us to go through these tests and trials, because out of it, he wants to show you how you are thinking. What are your motives? What is your attitudes? Does healing, deliverance need taking place? And very often it does. That's why there's great healing going on with our teaching over the years. We may not necessarily always see miracles that are taking place, but we can certainly have a testimony, and each of us an experience of deliverance is taking place right in our seat as we listen to this word. These deliverances that set us up to be able to meet that week out in that sinful, rebellious world that we have to go out and face and meet, whether it be a work or whatever it would be. And as I often keep saying, we're like spiritual batteries. We have to come back. We have to get these recharges. We have to be filled up. Your car will not run if you don't look after it and put fuel into it. The same as your bodies will not function if you don't eat properly and have the correct sleep and so forth. And so spiritually, how much more? And Paul, in many ways, is showing and emphasizing here how the inward man, how important it is that he is renewed, replenished, revitalized. You see, in your body, you have a mechanism that works, that rejuvenates, that renews. We have tremendous healing properties within us. The capability of the body being healed is tremendous. From a cut to breaking an arm or getting over a virus or whatever it would be. You know, it takes time, but there is something within us that is being renewed, healed, restored, you see. So how much more that spiritually? I am concerned when there are Christians who are not being renewed, restored, healed inwardly. There is a balance to this. You can't survive on just the exterior, the hype, wanting to be emotionally changed, wanting to feel all the goosebumps and so forth. You can't survive on that diet, because that's catering to the emotions, to the senses. We can only survive by a walk of faith, believing that God is renewing the inward man. And if we get that right, then we get the other blessings and so forth, you see. And this is what Paul is speaking about. So I want to break this down now. I want us now to look at these verses. And let's go back now to verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Now, if anyone could be excused for fainting, I don't mean a literal faint, but I mean that, you know, the heart giving away, I can't take any more, you know, it's just too much, the burden and everything. The Apostle Paul certainly could be one who could have said that. But no, he doesn't say that. He says, "For which cause we faint not." We don't faint, no matter what we feel, what's going on, what we see, what we hear, we don't faint. "But though our outward man perishes, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So he goes right to the root of why we faint not. Because yes, your flesh may feel like fainting. Yes, your flesh is hurting, but the inward man is not. What you are feeling, what you are going through, is actually for the inward man. Your trials, your tests, my tests, are actually for the inward man. Now, when you go through a trial next time, just think on that. Say, "Yes, this hurts. I don't like what I'm going through, but this is for the inward man. This is for my heart. This is important for me." As Paul is saying. And Paul, for all we know, writing this and some of his epistles and that he wrote right where he was in prison. Going through it in stocks. Those stinky dungeons, rat-infested places. Oh. And yet look at the profound things that come out of him. What's it saying, Philippians chapter 3, verses 9 to 11? Philippians chapter 3. Verses 9 to 11. "And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. For if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." So Paul never saw his trials, his tests, in a negative light. But he saw that power, that work of the Holy Spirit, working death, he saw that as life to the inward man. Now, friends, are we mature enough to be able to take what I'm going to say to you this morning? Death actually outwardly works upon you. That is why at times it doesn't look as though it happens. That's why at times it seems as though God has forgotten you. Or nobody is bothered about you anymore, or supporting you, or holding you in prayer. Or your family have forsaken you. Or you've believed and it seemed as though it had gone contrary. What I'm saying is, that is actually death working outwardly, precisely for the inward to be renewed. So that eventually you put off this body to put on immortality. That body clothed for eternity. That is how God is working it for the overcomers, and he won't change it. So we're then dealing with an attitude thing, aren't we? We're dealing with a motive. So we have to change our thinking. We have to say, right, well, I've been thinking about life, I've been thinking about having a good time, I've been thinking about all the blessings, claiming all the blessings and promises, you know, what is mine in Christ in this life. I've now got to start thinking that it is death to the flesh, outwardly, to me, self. Death daily works upon me. And that is an attitude thing. That is something you settle. That is something you don't argue about. You say, okay, Lord, you work that in my life. Now, it doesn't mean to say that God isn't going to bless. We know about Matthew 6:33, seeking first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. But that seeking first the kingdom of God is the work of the Spirit that works that death to the outward man. The work of the Spirit that's working death to the outward man releases you to be able to, with the right heart and motive, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In other words, you are doing it spiritually, you're doing it God's way and not in a carnal and fleshly way, which so often is the case. You see what I'm saying? And so this great apostle here is saying that I'll be found in him, not having mine own righteousness. In other words, not my own ability, not my own intellect, the carnal mind, trying to work it out, trying to be spiritual, trying to be religious, trying to explain why I'm going through what I'm going through, or justify why this has happened to me. Friends, you're going to go through some things that you won't be able to just say anything about it. You can't. Because you can't justify, you can't mentally, carnally work it out. It's happening. It's too deep. There's some trials I'm going through, they're too deep, I don't understand it, unless God opens my mind to see it. Because I can't get my mind around it. Paul couldn't get his mind around a lot of these things were going on. He sought God 3 times. And God said, my grace is sufficient. God didn't try to explain, analyze. He just said, Paul, my grace is sufficient. And the 3rd time he said, fair enough. I said, it's not for me to know. It's not for me to know in this life. Whatever. God's going to withhold things. We'll know in eternity. Why? Because he's not going to have you working out your own salvation in your own self, as Paul said, but be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, which is of bondage, unbelief, but which through faith in Christ, that righteousness that has been granted, given to me. See, that's the only way a man or woman will be saved. Your works will not save you. We are to produce the fruits of work of faith, but your actual trying to work for God, trying to better yourself, forget it. It will never work. That is carnal. So here we are when we go back. He says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Now you can wake up confident and say, praise God, today my inward man, my inward being is going to be renewed yet further this day. And settle it. Don't try and understand it. Don't try and analyze. That is what God says. And all we are to do is to believe that. To depend on that. To rely upon that. To know that God is big enough to do that work. And then he moves on. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. Did I hear right in what he said? Our light affliction. He's really saying, my light affliction. Oh, God help us. Lord have mercy. Here this man, what he goes through, has gone through, and what he will go through, and he says it's a light affliction in the light of eternity. And my friends, if you really think about it, if you just sit down and get still before God, what we've gone through really is such a light affliction. It is. In the light of eternity. In the light of the fact that some of my brothers and sisters, what they have had to go through, to defend, to keep their confession. What they have had to go through is, you can't put it into words. Some who have gone through horrendous trials and testings, that is what makes the true foundation of the church. You know, the foundation of the church, that rock in which it's built upon, goes down not only because of a confession of belief in the word of God, but because blood of the martyrs has been spilt. And God will not forsake that. So when we look in the light of what we're going through, it really is nothing. And every one of us should bow our heads in shame, because it is nothing to those of our brothers and sisters who have gone before and have gladly rejoiced in giving their life up for the gospel, for their love for Christ. But there we are. That's how God gets through to us. That's how he's changing these hearts of stone to hearts of flesh. But let's compare that now with Romans 8. Because, as I've just read to you, he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." And indeed it does. Your trials that you went through, or what you went through last week, is all in preparation for eternity. There is a purpose and a reason. Romans 8, verses 18 through to 28. "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God." So that's why we hold on to sonship, because creation itself groans and waits. The church waits for it. Everything waits for that to be manifested and seen. "For the creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of the sons of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption," that is, the redemption of our body. "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." And he goes on how the Spirit works and searches the mind and the heart, and how he works that within us. So, in light of what we just read about Paul's afflictions, which are really nothing in light of eternity, and that they're to work in us this eternal weight of glory, everything is working within us. The Holy Spirit's working this within us because it's groaning and must be released. Why all this groaning? Why all these labour pains? Why has God shown us Revelation 12, the manifestation of the sons of God, the man-child being developed and everything? Why all of this? Simple. Because it's all about God's glory. And he's going to glorify his name through his peculiar treasure. The church. The overcomers, his people, the first fruits. That's why. And so, the groaning is the fact that the inward man wants to be changed. Can I suggest something else, without hopefully not getting it wrong? That the more you go on, the more you're going to groan within, and the more dissatisfied you're going to be with your earthly body. You will. I believe part of what is going to bring the bridegroom to come and marry the bride, what is going to be the catching away, is this dissatisfaction, this dislike for this body that holds us back for eternity, for the glory that is to be revealed. I believe there's going to be coming a travail, a groaning, and that groaning is that this flesh holds me back. This tabernacle that I'm in, because I know there's a far, far greater one. One that will never rust, nor be corrupted, or will ever die. You see? I am convinced that that is another reason why our Saviour could confidently go to the cross, because he knew that there was a resurrected body for him to be glorified in. And I think this is what Paul is picking up here. This is what Paul is revealing to us as the Holy Spirit inspired and led him to write these scriptures. And friends, if you stay with this, this is what's going to work with you and me also. It will. It will. And then we go on, verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And obviously he says all of this, which I've given to you, we walk by faith, not by sight. Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. God is daily working this within us. You may not think he is, but he is. You stay with it, you'll fill with his Spirit and go on being filled. God daily is working this within you. And each day as you get up, you're going to find a little bit more, you're losing interest in the things that you once used to build your life upon. That your life could only exist by having that or whatever it would be. You're going to find each day as you wake up, you're going to find, yes, it's a blessing, but I could take it a little bit. Are you finding now there are things in your life you can take it or leave it? Whereas a year ago, you couldn't. Are you finding there are things where you just, in many ways, like you're outgrowing it? It served a purpose, but it no longer has a buzz anymore. Like fashions, isn't it? Sort of, you move on. I'm always saying to my students, you know, they buy all these paints and brushes, and they buy all these books, how to paint, and, you know, the market is simply flooded with how to be a successful painter. And I bring them right back to just the nitty-gritties that it's hard work, practice. You don't need all these paints. You don't need all these brushes. You don't need all these things. These people come along, give demonstrations, and nothing but salesmen selling them all these latest things. And then I say to them, have you found that you've outgrown them? They served a purpose, but you no longer need some of those things anymore, those books, those colours. Yes, you're right. How true. Absolutely right. Well, you take that more over to the spiritual. It's the same with us. Why? Because the inner man is taking over. The exterior, the outer, is dying. It's a complete reversal. You see? Man wants to survive, to live. He's going to fight to live. And the very thing that God says is you surrender to that. You let go of that fight to live. He says you let go of that for a very good reason, as Paul is speaking about here. And the only way you can do that is that you walk by faith. Yeah, but I don't feel as though the inner man's being renewed. Well, stay with it. Continue to receive the word. Just pray it into your life, and it will work. We walk by faith, not by sight. Don't look to others what they're doing and what they're going through and so forth. You keep your eyes upon Jesus, and then he'll perform and do that work in your life. And then you find you get up one morning, hey, hang on, it's different. My attitude's different. There's not that fight going on anymore. I don't feel angry anymore. What's the point? Let it go. Let it go. And that's what we're doing. We're letting it go. Let it go.
So tomorrow morning you get up, let it go.
You can.
Because God's working with the inward man. That's far more important. Eternal weight of glory. That is what is going to live forever and ever and ever. So in verse chapter 5, verse 1, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That is why the disciples couldn't believe that Jesus wanted to baptize them with the Holy Spirit and breathe upon them. They couldn't receive it at that time. That, you know, because you've got to be a Jew to understand that the Holy Spirit, God, the Godhead, can now tabernacle in man, unheard of. Impossible. Can't be. Our whole history, we always serve God from the tabernacle, the holies of holies. There's no way that God can come and live and take his abode in man, in a wicked, sinful heart. No way. That's what was going on. That's what they battled with. And Jesus said, when I leave, go, tarry, wait in that upper room, and all then will be revealed. You will then begin to understand. And boy, when the Holy Ghost fell upon them, their eyes and heart and very being was opened. This is God now living in me. That is why they turned the world upside down. That is why I make so much about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I will not let this church lose sight of this. Because what you have received, and when we pray over one to receive that baptism, they are receiving the fullness of God into their life and heart. Without that, you've got no hope. Where's the power? Where's the anointing? Where's the blessing? You've lost it. You've just turned back into a denomination, powerless, groping around in unbelief. No. And so Paul says, even though we have his fullness, we're baptized, we've received the Holy Spirit, yet he says, even if this earthly house, my body is dissolved, yet there is a body, a tabernacle, a building that God has made, not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. See, he's got his attitude right. He's got his vision right. His motive's right. His faith is right. So his whole walk is right. His relationship with God is right. You don't get that right, you don't get that real relationship right with God. Because otherwise it's motivated by self. Me, I. You see. So don't worry about the physical body too much. Don't put so much emphasis. The spirit of this age wants you to conform and look and act like this sensual generation that we live in. And it is sensual, it is sexual, it is immoral, and it wants you to look and act and participate in it. Not what Paul says. You're not bothered about what's going on. Don't get caught up in all this latest fashion. Don't get caught up into it. Not only that, but if you do, you'll never have any money. It'll take all your money, because that's what it's designed for. No, we've got to get it balanced. We've got to get it right. What does Mark 14, 56 to 58 say? Mark 14, 56 to 58. For many bore false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. Hang on, I got it wrong. Oh, yes, sir. And there arose certain and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands." So there Jesus' betrayal, ready to go to the cross. All these religious leaders are bearing false witness against him. And Jesus said, you've got your temple, you've got everything like that, but God will cast this down and build anew and raise another one up in 3 days. They couldn't understand the spiritual inner meaning of what Christ was saying. That is why the word of God has to be revealed. God has to open your eyes. They didn't realize that God was about to be put to the cross, but in his death, his resurrection, a new body, a new temple would be raised. See? There is the principle. A new generation is to be raised. The overcomers are to be raised. And Jesus has gone before first to prepare for this. And I'm not saying that God doesn't want to heal. Oh, he does. He's a God of compassion and mercy. He knows what it is to suffer. But all our healings and the healings that we've had have all been in that right time and right way when God has done that work. That we're realizing that this is just an added bonus because of God's mercy and grace upon my life, but it does not change the fact that my inner man is the most important thing, being changed, renewed into his likeness. That is the point, you see? And that is why we have to get it right. Well, then he goes on back in Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 2 of chapter 5, "For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." So where's your house from? Your true house? Obviously, from heaven. Man can't make this. Man can't change himself, better himself, for this house that we're to put on. That's what he's saying, and that's our habitation, which is from above. That is where we're going to live in that new body throughout eternity. Now we've got to get this, friends. We've got to get this, that this flesh, what we see, what we hear, is not eternal, is only temporary. I'm only living in this for just a mere time. This is temporal. This is not eternal. There's no way it can be. See? I think we're beginning to realize now how the Holy Spirit's wooing us away. How he's working with us, getting us to come away from this world, from this life. And he's going to do it more and more. Going to do it more and more. Romans 8, 22. I'll just read this again. "For we know that the whole creation groans, travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, that is the redemption of our body." And that is where you are going to hear today those that are true overcomers, the first fruits. They will talk about being caught away. They are preparing themselves to be called away. They are talking about the bridegroom that is to marry the bride. That is their revelation. That is their talk. That is their conversation. That is their preparation. And that is what I look for. That is what I look for amongst believers, churches, whatever. Is that that's going on? First fruits. Groaning. Within themselves, preparing themselves as those wise virgins, because they have caught the vision for the last day. That is what we discern. That is what we see. That is what we can only know and talk and experience about. That is my life. Is it your life? That's the question. We can sit here, but it may not be your life. It may not be encouraging you, exciting you. That God has first fruits. That yes, I am destined for the throne. That the rapture isn't far away. That he's going to marry his bride. Is that your experience? Or do you just sit there and think, what's this guy on about? You know? God's giving us a chance to change. God's giving us a chance to get it right. I can't change that for you. But you can call out on this. You can ask God, Lord, I want this to be my experience, what I'm hearing. To enter into this. Because it's right. It's what I read. It's what I see. You see? Some do, some don't. It's not to say one isn't saved, but it could just be that some will not be those wise virgins, but the foolish that are left behind. That's the point, you see. He then goes on in verse 3. If so be then, being clothed, we shall not be found naked. And here it is. Here's the experience. This is what I've just been speaking about. It's a warning to the churches. It's a warning to this Laodicean spirit where John speaks about in Revelation 3, I counsel you to buy from me, I sell, that you may see your nakedness, that you aren't clothed for this. This is what he's doing. He's even challenging this church. That's the warning the Holy Spirit's giving out now in this hour. And then he goes on, verse 4, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that immortality might be swallowed up of life. In other words, I can't wait to leave this earth, this place. And if we were to be honest, I don't think most of us can actually honestly say that yet, can we? Because we can't really say that. That is why God's still working with us to change us. Because when we start saying, I cannot wait to leave this place, I cannot wait. It burns within my heart. When we start getting there, I'm telling you, we're not far away from the rapture. Because we want to be with our Lord. With him and him alone. See? It doesn't burn enough yet. We haven't been tried and tested enough yet. But God's doing it. He's doing it. So that we're clothed with those garments for the marriage feast. That's what it's all about. The bride who makes herself ready. And so, in verse 5, now he who hath wrought us for the very same thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And here is why I make so much about the baptism of the Spirit. Because what he's saying here, this is the down payment. A down payment has been paid. And he's coming back to pay for the rest. And so the sealing for that down payment, sold, purchased. But I'll pay the rest tomorrow. I'm going to collect it tomorrow. But it's been paid. I'm going to collect what I've bought tomorrow or next week. And so that sale sign, that sold sign I should say, is stamped upon that object. That's what it means. That is why the baptism is so imperative for this. And that's why we mustn't grieve the Holy Spirit as he works with us. We mustn't fight against him as he's working this within our heart. And our spirit, you see. It's so important for this And this is why we're taught through the deeper life in the Spirit that, you know, instead of resisting the Holy Spirit, we simply yield over to Him. And the moment you yield, there's that peace to the mind and heart. There's that harmony again, that relationship with God. And the baptism of the Spirit, that sealing, will ever keep you groaning, desiring for more. Because that's the nature of the Spirit. That's the nature of Him. Out of your inmost being shall flow those rivers of living water. It's an endless reservoir. Never comes to an end. It's ever pumping, giving out water. That's why it's so important that we're sealed with this baptism. Well, verses 6 and 7, therefore we are also confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. And that's why he's confident. Because he walks by faith and not by sight. And faith will always cause you to be confident, never to doubt. That is why when Jesus was moved or miracles performed through him, he never doubted. He moved fearlessly, confidently, knowing that the Father is with him. God's doing that in you and me. That's the faith we're coming into. Now, if you don't believe for that, then God will give it to somebody who does, because I believe my God's big enough to work that in and through me. Oh, it's taking a while, but I believe he can and is doing that, because that's the only way it's ever going to work. It will never work intellectually, emotionally, in a religious way. Faith makes us confident while we are still yet glorified. No, at home. That's where he's doing it. Still at home, in the body. Oh Lord, I wish it was glorified. It'd be a lot easier because we can come and go. We can disappear and so forth. Oh, we'll get that, but we've got to wait. We've got to come to a degree of faith, perfection in these bodies. Sorry. But you have, and that's why we overcome still. But he'll do it. And how do I know he can do it? Because he's God. And he has said so. And finally, verse 8. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And then he goes on, we labour with this. But he realised that it was important for him still to be in the body because of the work that God was still doing in and through that man. Paul really stayed on in the body for the sake of the ministry. That's the stand and the call that man had with God. He could be absent from the body, which he groaned for and earnestly desired for, but he said, no, Lord, the choice is I stay in the body for the sake of the ministry. And there are one or two here who have had experiences with God where God said you can come home or you can be a first fruits unto me. Some have had that choice in this assembly. Some of you may not know that, but have chosen for the sake of this body, for the furthering of the kingdom, for the ministry and the desire to be an overcomer, to make it in the rapture, have chosen to continue to stay, remain. That's quite a standing with God when you experience that. And the Apostle Paul did. And you will as well. And you can decide. God will give you a decision. You can come home to me, I'll take you home, or you can stay. The choice is yours. What a standing with God. So ultimately, our confidence is because we will be with the Lord. Nothing can separate us from his love. That is the point. That is what this is all about. His love can never separate us. Whether in this earthly body or out of this earthly body, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, His love for us will never be severed or broken. And that is why you can be confident and walk by faith. And that is why faith must work by love. Because faith must work by love to give that confidence that faith must have. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you again this morning for encouraging us, speaking to us. Lord, again, we've learned something more of your heart. We know, Father, that we are preserved and kept by you because you have sealed us. And that sealing is an indication to the powers of darkness, to the very devil himself, that we belong to Almighty God. And so that sealing says to the devil, to the powers of darkness, hands off, doesn't belong to you. And yet, Lord, at times we still listen to his growling, his lies, his suggestions. But Lord, you do not give up on us, and we praise and thank you for that. So Lord, I pray that you'll be with my brothers and sisters through this week. Bless them, preserve them, keep them, that they may walk in the spirit and not in the flesh, ever ready to give a good confession, a reason why they follow Christ. Lead us, Father, by your Spirit, alongside those who are hurting, who have need of hearing the good news of Jesus Christ. Father, please use us as we wait upon you, we ask, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Our changing
by your Spirit, you're making me like you. Transforming me.
those who are in faith this morning will go away not only blessed, but will know that they are different to when they came in. And they're different because their faith has reached out to receive. Their faith has acknowledged what God is saying in their lives. And so, go away with that renewed vision, that greater understanding of the Holy Spirit's work in your life, and go out in that world and live it. Because unless we live it, we will not know. And God is big enough, great enough, to preserve and keep you. And whatever your trials and testings are, remember that it is God renewing the inner man. The outer man is perishing, dying, decaying. It is the inner man. And that is what we must look to, concentrate upon, our prayer about. And remember this also. It is the inner man with each one of us that we are to look to. We are not to judge from the exterior. Not that we are to judge in that sense. But God is ever getting us to look to one another in the heart, in the motive. He's getting us to look that way. The carnal will always look outwardly. The spiritual man or woman will look inwardly. And of course, God showed that principle, didn't he, when choosing a king for Israel? Jesse, his sons, he wanted one of his sons, or the ones that came in, he wanted one of them to be king. But the prophet said, how about that one that's out in the field? Bring him in. Funny, he was outside, wasn't it? Hey, I wonder who was keeping him outside there, eh? The powers of darkness. But see, God's always one step ahead. And when he came in, he said, this is the one. This is it. Because he didn't see outwardly. He didn't see by the natural, the carnal. He saw through the eyes of God. And that is how, for unity and fellowship to ever grow more in this assembly, we must see one another through the eyes of Jesus. Amen. Well, the Lord bless, preserve, and ever keep you.